On this week's podcast from Radio Today, KISS is now London's number one hit music station. We'll talk to its PD, Andy Roberts, about the latest Radar figures. Mike Russell will be here to tell us about Podcast Movement 18 and play a game of Stu versus Roy with us. James Cridland has some thoughts on the future of advertising on the radio. And David Lloyd has more Radio Moments.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
Yes, Mike Russell will be with us shortly to talk podcasts and to ask some questions to see if Roy can beat me and be Geek of the Week for a change. We start this week, though, with some sad news. The death suddenly earlier this week of Vicky Archer from the Drive Time show at BBC Radio Shropshire, aged just 41. Now, Vicky also worked at The Pulse in West Yorkshire, at Century FM and on the Magic Network. She'd been back at the BBC with Radio Shropshire doing the afternoon show for the last 8 years. And the announcement of her death came on Tuesday afternoon, where colleague Eric Smith came on air at 3 o'clock.
We've got some very sad news to share with you this afternoon, I'm afraid. Our much-loved colleague Vicky Archer, who's been part of your afternoons on this radio station for the past 8 years, has died suddenly. The cause of her death is not known. At this terribly sad time, of course, our thoughts are with her family. Vicky was part of BBC Radio Shropshire for more than 20 years. She was a great presenter, a great broadcaster, and she brought a wonderful sense of fun to her shows and behind the scenes in the newsroom too. As you'd expect, our programmes for the rest of the day will sound a bit different to usual as we remember Vicky.
Eric Smith with a tribute to Vicky Archer, who's died this week. And of course, our thoughts here at Radio Today with her friends, family and colleagues as well. Let's bring in Radio Today's editor and founder, Roy Martin, now talking about what else has been happening in radio this week. And of course, since we last spoke, it's been Radar.
Radar, hi Stu, yes. It was an interesting one because we got a new, in terms of reach, commercial radio station in London, didn't we?
New number one commercial radio station in London. Yeah, we're going to be talking to Andy Roberts from KISS in a few minutes about that right here on this podcast. But yeah, Capital no longer number one on reach.
Which is, I mean, share is important, hours are important, but bums on seats, that's the old fail-safe, isn't it? Whoever's got the most people physically tuning in, that has got to be a good way to measure, surely.
Absolutely. So LBC, because they get the hours, are number one on share, followed by KISS. But in terms of reach, it's KISS 100 and then it's 95.8 Capital FM. So no longer London's number one hit station.
So is Capital still saying then the number one hit music station in London? Or?
Well, I had a little listen yesterday afternoon and I heard this.
London's number one.
Number one hit music station.
Oh, man, have you guys been fun?
So, yes.
They can't be that bothered because for a couple of years, Bauer was saying they have the only national 70s radio station. When they didn't, of course, because Smooth 70s came on the block. They just didn't change the imaging for absolutely ages. And then Smooth 70s closed, so they just obviously carried on with the imaging. But I strongly suspect Capital will continue playing that imaging and nobody will do anything about it.
We'll see what Andy Roberts has to say in a minute. Of course, they are the UK's number one hit music station still, so they can kind of get away with that.
It's a technicality.
So Ipswich, last week on this very podcast, we were talking about the new Ipswich 102 going on DAB before it launches on FM and the fact that Town 102 wasn't on DAB ever in the first place and that's why it lost its licence. Well, it is now.
Yeah, in a shock move, in a smart move, Town 102 is now on DAB and this is the even smarter move, is that it will continue to broadcast. Town 102 will live on digital, so there'll be two radio stations super serving Ipswich, which is a bit bizarre, but if that's the card Celado wants to play, then fair be it.
I suppose it's quite easy for Celado because actually it's probably just a PC in the corner of a cupboard streaming a few ads and sweepers from Norwich anyway. So
indeed, so they may as well continue. But the ironic thing is, if they'd have gone on DAB in the first place, they wouldn't have lost the FM licence.
No, well, maybe Celado will get smart to that and maybe do that in Bristol.
Oh, wait a minute, breaking news. I can officially, exclusively confirm that Sam FM will be going back on DAB in Bristol. And that's absolutely nothing to do with the fact that they're fighting for their license against a station which says they will go on DAB and was very popular in the town a few years ago.
Surprise, there we are.
They just love it.
So a couple of Brighton stories this week as well. Ofcom decided that Juice Brighton was in breach of its license because its former major shareholder went to prison and nobody told Ofcom. But it doesn't matter anyway, because he's now sold all the shares to Global and Capital launches 3rd of September.
Yeah, big changes in Brighton. We're doing a feature on this on ontheradio.co.uk for Brighton readers. So it's all changing. Juice, which has been broadcasting for 15 years, 20 if you include the surf days, will disappear. But no fear, because Brighton is about to get two new radio stations, Capital and, for 1 point, what's the other one, Stu?
Oh, I don't know. If I'm not ready for the geek quiz, I don't know. is it News Radio UK?
It's certainly not. It's Gaydio.
Gaydio.
Which launches, apparently, according to the local newspaper, in the next month. So Capital Gaydio will fight it out for the dance music title, I'm sure.
So the new football season is upon us. Five Live and TalkSport and everybody getting all ready for it. Five Live have got a new Friday morning breakfast show starting this week, 8:30 every Friday with Robbie Savage. He was on during the World Cup. TalkSport got a variety of new shows and new signings for the season. Bradley Wiggins is going to be on a weekly show on a weekend. And Ali McCoist joins Alan Brazil at breakfast a couple of days a week as well. So it's all guns out, ready for the start of the football. I know you're excited.
Oh, yes. Sorry, did you say something about sport there? I think I fell asleep. And okay. One or two new jobs this week as well, I believe.
New jobs for Christian Smith, who's been the head of music at Virgin. He's just been promoted to group head of music at Wireless Group. And James Keane on the move this week from Heart of Essex. He's now station director for Channel 103 and Island FM. That's a good gig, isn't it?
Definitely, if you want to live in the middle of the English Channel.
A quick mention this week for Jeff Lloyd, who's been covering Five Live Breakfast for Nikki Campbell and doing a very good job at it as well. So just shows you can go from music radio to all speech format quite easily if you're a decent broadcaster.
Indeed. And events coming up in the near future. Just to remind you, the ARIA's closed for entries early this week. I think Rog X mentioned that it's been a record number of entries. So looking forward to the big event in Leeds in October. I've even booked the hotels already. That's how much I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, where are we staying?
You're staying at home because you live around the corner.
Thanks.
And I'm in the one of the village hotels. But don't tell anybody because everybody will come to the after party. And a couple of events taking place next month in September. We've got the Community Radio Conference and the Community Radio Awards in Sheffield on the 15th of September. And then a couple of days later in London, it's Next Radio on Monday, the 17th of September. And then the week later, we've got Drive to Digital. And we've just got new speakers announced this week. The BBC's commissioning editor for podcast, Jason Phipps, Sophie Herdman from Acast, and Matt Deaglin, who was the executive producer of this summer's big podcast hit, Love Island, The Morning After, of course, and a very well-known friend of the Radio Today programme.
Well, let's bring in somebody to tell us about Podcast Movement 18, which was in Philadelphia the other week. Mike Russell is with us from Music Radio Creative. Hi, Mike.
Hello, Stuart. It's a delight to be on the show.
So for anybody who hasn't heard of Podcast Movement 18, I know James Cridler mentioned it on the podcast last week. What's the point of it? What was it about?
So it is the biggest gathering of podcasters in the world. It moves around every year, so it goes from city to city. And essentially, over 2 or 3 days, you get to learn everything about podcasting, from monetization to creating your first show. They have an award ceremony as well. And it's just an all-round good vibe, really.
And it sounds like it was quite a big deal. There was a lot of people there, certainly compared with the radio conference.
Well, it seems to be growing every year, Stuart. So 2014 was the first year of Podcast Movement. I think they had around 500 people, maybe just on 500 people attending that. This year, it said that it was just over 2,000 people coming in from 30 different countries. And it certainly felt like that, walking around and meeting people. There were people from all over. A lot of representation from the UK, and dare I say, quite a bit of representation from the UK radio industry too.
Yeah. James was saying how such a positive place it was, and there was no kind of negativity like you get at radio conferences. but so what did you actually learn? What did you go there to achieve, and did you achieve it?
Well, I was there with Adobe, so I was on their booth pretty much the whole thing. But I did sneak away for the keynote, the opening keynote with Pat Flynn. He's always fantastic. If you haven't seen or listened to Pat's podcast, then you're in for a treat listening to him. But yeah, generally it was a chance for me to catch up with those that I know in podcasting, to hear what people are doing. Mainly, as I was coming in from the audio editing perspective, I was learning people's pains and problems with editing podcasts, and there do tend to be quite a few, including cutting out ers and ums, which I think we're used to in radio, aren't we?
Yeah, but I suppose are podcasters investing in things like Adobe Audition, or are they kind of using free software and cheaper software?
So, yeah, there is very much two schools of thought there, really. A lot of people starting out will start with the free stuff. They will start with Audacity, and they'll have a play. And then usually when you get to a certain stage in your podcasting life, once you say, okay, I think I'm going to be doing this on a regular basis, and how much time is it taking me? We had one lady who came over and she said, you know, I'm editing in Audacity, I'm cutting out every little thing, and I'm budging up the waveform. So she was demonstrating, I cut, and then I budge up, and then I cut and budge up. And then we just gave a little demo of, well, how about you just do this automatic marker here, and, you know, to get rid of the silences. And it was like, wow. So I think saving time is the main thing for those who are sort of invested in podcasting.
Yeah, and I suppose there's probably a debate about to edit or not to edit, because the idea of a podcast is that it's not radio and you can just talk and talk and talk, and actually you don't need to take all those ums and ers out.
Exactly, yeah. There's a big kind of live to drive set of people. I think it's a great idea. It saves you time, doesn't it? You just click stop, upload, it's done. Is that what you do with this show?
Oh, no. Roy takes a lot of editing. It takes a lot of editing.
Ah, yes.
How rude.
Well, you've got to be.
So I was going to ask you, Mike, that you say radio people were represented. Was it a case of there were a few radio people in the corner and they were just watching the kids have fun in the other corner doing their podcast, or was radio very much a part of podcasting?
Well, from what I understand, and you're probably more familiar with this than me, there's a lot of US radio representation. I think I heard the name Jacobs Media. Does that mean something to you?
It does, yeah.
So Jacobs were very interested and very well involved. I believe they had quite significant representation. And as you mentioned there, you had James Cridland on the show the other week. I met James. I met Chris Stevens as well. So, yeah, it's just nice to see some familiar faces from the radio industry, you know, from my time working in radio. So, yeah.
And I guess a lot of people who just kind of think, right, I'm going to start a podcast because this is the thing at the moment. They're probably not, some of them haven't got any radio experience, so they're learning as they go. So going along to an event like this means they go, oh, maybe I should start doing it like that.
Exactly, yeah. It's very much the case, unlike radio, where, you know, most people, they go through, you know, certain career path where they learn the trade and then go on the air, get experience. Usually you get experience on the job, don't you, in radio? Whereas podcasters, they're coming from all walks of life. So you're meeting lawyers, you know, doctors, teachers, food and health and fitness people who just they want to start a podcast. And usually it comes from the angle of, I'd like to start a podcast not to make money and to give up my day job, but actually to supplement and to increase my authority as, you know, somebody in a certain space. So we're finding like people coming from all over.
Yeah, and money's the other thing, I suppose. People want, certainly people coming from radio or leaving radio, people want to make money at it. So it looks like there was quite a lot of sessions about monetization on the schedule.
Definitely, and I would say it's very positive. So a lot of the big podcast hosts are doing their best to help podcasters to monetize. For instance, I did get the chance to meet and chat with the folks from Spreaker, and they mentioned that they're introducing more monetization into podcasts. I think they've just launched a new product called Dynamo, where you can dynamically insert ads at the start and the end and the middle of your podcast. It's supposed to be some kind of Google AdSense for audio, but I think that's still a race that is yet to be won, unlike with video, where pretty much YouTube owns the space, and, you know, Google AdSense. Podcast monetization, it's something that a lot of different companies are trying to work on, and I think it will dramatically help podcasters when there's an easy solution.
And a stock question, but very relevant. Where do you see podcasting in the future, and what do you think? Do you like the word podcast? Is that what we're sticking with? Or is there a better name, like an audio download or something a bit sexier than the word podcast, which seems to be associated with a machine that was invented in 2001 by Apple? So are we stuck with the word podcast, do you think?
Yeah, I think podcasting has stuck, and I mean, it sounds fine to me. You can call it, I guess, online radio show maybe, or online download. So many other name slips my mind now of the person from The Guardian who coined the term, but he came up with alternatives like guerrilla media or something like that. So, and I think really it was when Apple put podcasts into the iPod that we said, okay, podcasting is the name now. And to answer the other question that you asked, Roy, about where do I see podcasting in the future? I just see it growing like any form of online media. So video is obviously big. You know, look at the places like YouTube, who have now spaces throughout the world where creators can come in and use their equipment to create good quality video shows. I would really like to see podcasting going along those lines. How cool would it be? I mean, we even see it now, just recently at Podcast Movement, the presence. Obviously, Apple have been there the last few years. Google were actually at Podcast Movement this year, and you will have seen all the noise that Google have made with their new Google Podcasts app. So, you know, seeing signs like this, I believe it's very positive.
I never think something's in the mainstream until my parents are doing it. So the iPhone, you know that was good when all your family got one. But my mum and dad, I can't imagine them ever going and looking for a podcast.
That's a very good point.
My dad listens to this one.
Yeah, well, there you go. It was a good promo. I think it was from This American Life when they created the Serial podcast, where I think it was Ira Glass sort of demonstrated how to get his grandma to tune into or download a podcast. So, you know, there are, you know, sort of shows like that and media presences like that doing their best to spread the word wider. And I think Serial in particular has done a lot to really bring podcasting out there into the mainstream. But I think it's just a matter of time, really. It's like you say with anything, like with the iPhone, you know, who can you remember who had the iPhone 3 or the 3GS, those early adopters. But now, like you say, pretty much everyone has it. And if you don't send a message that's blue, you're kind of not in the club, are you?
Indeed.
I do think my mum downloads the Archers as well sometimes. So there we are. Well, she comes around to my house, she uses my Wi-Fi to download it and then goes home to listen to it. And one final thing, you do a podcast that's kind of aimed at people working in radio and audio, and obviously we do one as well. A lot of podcasts these days are going for that niche audience, but are there any niches that haven't got a podcast yet that we need to create one for?
Yeah.
I heard an interesting figure that there are more podcasts than people. Is that true?
Wow. More podcasts than people. I believe, from what I understood from recent figures, there are around 500,000 active podcasts in iTunes, somewhere around that figure. So then you'd have to have 6 or 7 billion podcasts, wouldn't you? I don't think it's that many. Could it be?
I was being flippant. No, I was only joking. But there are so many. That was my point.
Well, we've got a few hundred episodes of ours. So if you total up all the episodes of podcasts, maybe.
Oh, yeah, true.
Total episodes, yeah. Definitely.
Maybe.
Right, now you two, Mike and Roy, go way back and worked together, 10 years or so ago. So we've got Mike on to do the geek quiz for us.
Yes.
And be our quiz master. So it's Stu versus Roy. I can't remember what the score is from recent weeks, but I think I'm probably just ahead. So it's Roy's chance to get back on me.
I think Nick from Bew's Cabs won last week by correcting us, didn't he, on Twitter?
Oh, yes, we missed one of the Radio 2 breakfast presenters. Poor Brian Hayes.
Never mind.
There we are. So Mike's going to ask some geek questions. We're going to say Stu or Roy if we want to buzz in first and answer, and we'll see who's this week's geek of the week. Mike, you're our quizmaster. Take it away.
Oh, I'm so excited about this. Okay, right, let's give it a go. Question number one. What was the first song ever played on Capital Radio London.
Stu, Bridge Over Troubled Water by Simon and Garfunkel.
Yes! Come on. One to Stu.
Well done.
Okay, question number two. What station did Capital Liverpool start life as in 1998?
Right.
Go on.
That would have been 107.6 Crash FM.
Yes! I'm glad you didn't
Crash
say Juice.
107.6. No, it was Janice Long and Crash.
Yeah, this is good. All right, stand by for this one. Question three. Kilohertz, Powershot and Alien are all types of...
Right.
Yep.
Music libraries. Production libraries. Imaging libraries.
Can I let you have that? Imaging libraries, production libraries. I wrote down imaging libraries, but I guess, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, same that. Thing.
So two to Roy, one to Stu. Okay, question number four. Who was the voice of XFM London from 2000 to 2004?
Roy.
Go on.
Was it Ben Needle?
Oh, wow. <That's so impressive>. Very good.
Why, thank you very
okay.
much.
And finally, this is going to be a good one. Name three former local radio stations that were part of the GWR group.
Stu.
Yep.
I'll give him that one. That's an easy one.
Go for Harrowwood FM, Chilton FM, and Northants 96.
Ding.
Yay. Easy peasy. But I still lost.
Did you? Did I win that one?
3-2 to Roy, I think.
Whoa. It was the XFM question that swung it.
Yeah, there were a few special jingle and imaging questions in there.
Yeah, stitched up.
Checks in the post. In fact, I'll bring it over because we're only about 10 miles away from each other, I believe.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I thought we were all in the same room. Are we not playing on that premise again?
Oh, yes, we are. We're all in Media City, aren't we? That's where we are.
Thanks, Mike, and thanks for telling us about Podcast Movement. It's great to hear about it. I presume you're going next year again, are you?
Yes, it's in Orlando in the middle of August next year. So it'll be quite humid, which I guess means more networking time, right?
I'd love to go. Stu, should we go?
Let's do it.
Get yourself a passport.
Fire up the expenses account.
See you
Fire
there.
Fire up the DeLorean.
Broadcast Bionics brings you Phonebox, Oasis, Virtual Director, and many more innovative solutions for creative radio people. Come to bionics.co.uk and find out more.
This is the Radio Today programme. I'm Stuart Clarkson. The latest RAJARs were out in the last week. Figures for quarter two 2018. You can see all the analysis at radiotoday.co.uk, of course. Big winner this quarter, in London in particular, was Kiss, overtaking Capital to take number one spot on reach in London. And I'm pleased to say we can talk to Kiss PD Andy Roberts. Welcome to the podcast, Andy.
Hey, thank you. Thank you. I apologise if I'm whispering. I'm actually, I don't do this all the time. I've just taken a couple of days holiday. So I'm sitting by a pool with a slight dose of the flu, because Kiss is very good at attracting illness through the air conditioning there. So thank you guys at home for giving me this, but I took a couple of days out to kind of recuperate.
So London's number one hit music station. It's got a nice ring to it, hasn't it?
and it's something that we shouldn't continue in a way that I know that's rightfully the strapline of Capital, and I love them, and everything is done with respect. But you know, I think it's always one of those nice things to land. But you know, I'm really kind of focused on making sure Kiss is the right shape. It is quite funny in a way that Kiss can be number one in London with all adults, but however, you know, it's not about that. You know, so it's all nice and it's kind of love and war in a way. But you know, when I kind of have a bit of a poke at Global on Twitter, it's all done with the maximum and most respect. Honest.
We enjoyed your dark clouds gathering over Leicester Square picture on RAJAR morning as well. That was a nice bit of fun.
Well, I did stand outside Golden Square and I saw some dark clouds to the east. So it's a coincidence that it was RAJAR, honest.
But they're still using that London number one hit music station. You haven't got a problem with them continuing to call themselves that?
They've got a big old page on their website, which kind of describes how and why they can use it, so I'm sure the legalities are there, and I'm sure they'll find some way. But you know, I think it's at the end of the day, it's a bit of fun what I'm kind of doing, and you know, I'm very much focused with what we're doing at Bauer and with Kiss, and yeah, I think it's, you know, we need to be true to our audiences, and if they aren't the number one music station, yeah, maybe I should get some lawyers. And no win, no fee. I'm joking.
So back up to nearly 2.1 million in London for the first time in a couple of years. What is it you've been doing recently that gets you back up to number one, do you think?
We seem to have a good bounce on this quarter around this type of year. And, you know, I think that's then when we're coming off the back of this, it gets a little bit more problematic for KISS around, you know, certain audiences being away at that time. But, you know, we spent a lot of hard work in the last 3 months just making sure always that the music is right. It's a very tight team with KISS, so I'm very hands-on with the guys. And, you know, I spend a lot of time with them on the programming and, you know, things like social media. So, you know, a lot of hard work. But I think it's just, I think we're riding a good crest and a wave at the moment, which kind of goes in our favor. And musically, you know, everything has been, I'd say, for the last 24 months in a good place, really, for KISS, in the shape of what the charts do and also kind of the new stuff that comes out. And KISS is also in a position where it can make hits as well, which we're quite fortunate to have the audience engaging with us. And it's a bit more sticky, I think, than some other brands that we've got.
Do you still see yourself as a specialist station, as a dance music station, or now that you're the biggest in London, now that you're delivering, you know, 5.6 million nationally, do you see yourself more mainstream than perhaps when you first started at KISS?
I think just you look at the way that the genres and the breakdown of barriers within genres has shifted, you know, so everything, it really is rhythmic, and it's very hard to pigeonhole things. So, you know, we still fulfill our specialist music requirement by our format, but you know, music has changed a lot, and you know, the evolution of KISS really had to happen that way and move it around. So we launched some sub brands to really kind of make sure that we can cater for some of those interesting genres, such as, say, grime, you know, and we're very kind of proud of that. But I think we did start seeing a shift of what was a lot of those genres that we were attached to initially, and that became really the mainstream.
And of course, KISTory is flying, second biggest digital radio station ever now. So take some confidence from that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I came up with KISTory a fair few years ago. And, you know, originally it was an hour piece of programming. I still mix KISTory for my Sims every day for the FM version, because I'd like to keep my hand in on it. But as we always kind of saw that it was bigger than that. And, you know, again, there's a real renaissance of old school music, even if you look at absolute 80s and 90s and how those guys did well with that. So we knew we were onto something, and I think we managed to create quite a nice brand and a true 360 grand, where you've got the radio station, you've got the events, we have the CDs, and you know, the international tour, and we've even put it into the Scandies as well. So, you know, as long as we keep on evolving, I think it should continue to grow. But, you know, commercially, the biggest digital only radio station in the UK is pretty good for that, and the first one to bust 2 million audiences is impressive as well.
You talked about making the KISTory mixes yourself every day. Do you do those on reel to reel, like you used to do the non-stop top 20 on Rock FM, I'm reliably told?
Yeah, when I first started, I got offered a job at Rock FM, and they were like, don't go to university, we'll get you involved with the radio station. So as a kid, I could always mix, and I had an Atari ST, so I could sample for about 30 seconds on it. So I get to Rock FM, and I come up with this idea. I go, I know, it'd be great if we mix the chart every week. You know, I can beat mix the top 20 every week. It'll be great. And then they take me into the studio, and they've got a reel-to-reel machine and a DAT player. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, how am I going to do this? So I think for that first week, I taught myself how to edit on reel-to-reel, and I managed to – it used to take me about 8 hours to mix the top 20 on a Sunday. And, that was my baptism of fire into production. And then finally, they got a playout system. They got Dalit, which was good, and we managed to actually start doing digital edits. There are some non-stop top 20s knocking around somewhere at Rock FM on reel-to-reel, which was a long time ago.
Well, it's nice to see that you're still keeping your hand in, and there are a lot of PDs who wouldn't be doing that. So I guess you do that because you love doing it and love mixing those tunes.
I think it just helps you understand what fuels the engine. And, you know, so I did start as a in a production background. I like the fact that I can sit with my imaging producers and really understand how things are put together and explain what I want. And I think it helps with a brand like KISS that you can mix things. So, you know, we do a lot of tricks with the music, and I'm always editing on Pro Tools when I've got a spare time, and so are the guys around me. So you know, again, when you've got a really tight team, it really helps when you can all pull together and work on something.
Fab. Well, good luck for Kiss moving on to the next quarter. Obviously, your songs are sounding great in the sunshine. I've had Kiss on myself in the car all day today, in the so it sounds good in the summer. I suppose next for you is kind of keeping those new audiences that you've attracted over the last quarter and getting them listening a bit longer.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're always driving to get those listening hours up. I think it's just really, again, like I said earlier, about getting the shape right. So don't expect the mass from Kiss to be always the same as it is. You know, this is, again, a moment in time. I really want to focus on attracting the young audiences. So, you know, and whatever Kiss evolves into, you know, I think this very traditional way of listening has to change. And, you know, we're really excited about what's around the corner digitally. So obviously you've seen how that's changed television, and, you know, radio has to kind of go that way. And also, when I program Kiss, I never think of it just as a radio brand. And this whole hear, see, share, discover strategy that we have really needs to kind of kick in. So we're heavily reliant on the digital ambition of what's here at Bauer and you know, where we go with Kiss and what it becomes. You know, I think that's always my worry, the back of my head. That's always what I'm thinking about, is what does it become next.
Well, enjoy the rest of your holiday. I'll let you get back to the pool.
You're welcome. Take care.
Top guy. Well, James Cridland's here in a minute with some thoughts about radio advertising. First, a quick word about Clean Feed. If you've not heard about it, it is great for doing OBs, doing interviews down the line, co-hosting a show from somewhere that's not in your normal studio. It's designed for radio people and for podcasters. And now with Clean Feed, it's really simple to connect live audio over the internet. Great quality and even an option to record right within the browser. Clean Feed won't cost you anything to get started. Just take you a minute or so to sign up, and within a few minutes, you'll be doing your first live interview or doing a recording for your podcast or your radio show. You can find out more about it at cleanfeed.net. That's cleanfeed.net.
At james.crid.land, I'm James Cridland, the radio futurologist. This week, some new advertising ideas are the pits. Now, whenever you get close to a subway station in Seoul in South Korea, the subway train starts playing this little tune. Now, I'm 6'4", something that I'm acutely aware of in two situations. First, whenever I'm on an economy airline flight, and second, whenever I'm on a subway train in Asia. Because those useful straps from the ceiling, normally out of my way in the US and Europe, are all fighting to slap me in the face in subway trains in places like Japan, where the average height is 5'7", or Malaysia, where the average height is 5'4". Those hand straps do get a lot of use, just not by me. Where I see discomfort, others see opportunity. And so it is that a new Japanese organisation called Wakino Ad Company has spotted that commuters holding onto ad straps is an advertising opportunity. Yes, the good folks at Wakino are hiring Japanese models with your ad in their armpits. This from a country where people have even rented out their thighs for advertising before now, so maybe it'll catch on. The first advertiser is, it turns out, a laser hair removal company. Radio's ad model is, in the main, still based on 30 seconds of someone shouting at you, followed by five or more people shouting at you, then a nice jingle, and then back to the music. And we've typically been pretty bad at maintaining the price for these things too, so the interruptions have grown longer and more often. And on visiting the United States in the mid-2000s, one broadcaster proudly told me that his station had 47 minutes of commercials every hour in the breakfast show. Yikes. Now, rethinking how the revenue model works is a challenge, but we do need to keep thinking. And I've nothing particularly to base this on, but I have a feeling that the days of the 6-minute long advertising stop set, and the banner ad for that matter, are going away. We should be focusing both on increasing revenue and on reducing the amounts of spots sold. This isn't just a rate integrity issue, it's a programming issue as well. African Radio has done some clever rethinking, as Steve Martin from the BBC told the Next Radio conference back in 2013, selling funeral announcements, hiring a village hall, even moving all the commercials into 1 hour in late afternoon, which astonishingly works. But I'd not recommend any of that, and I certainly wouldn't go for advertising in armpits. But any ideas for replacements for the long advertising stop sets would be more than welcome. You can get my weekly newsletter at james.crid.land and daily podcast news at podnews.net. And until next time, keep listening. And now on the Radio Today programme is the terribly tall David Lloyd. Radio Moment.
In recent years, Radio 2 has lost many of the voices which defined it. It's 5 years this week since David Jacobs hosted his last programme.
Anthony Newley, with the orchestra conducted by Eric Rogers, bringing this week's collection to a close. I'll be here at the same time next week, so until then, or whenever, on behalf of my producer, Alan Boyd, it's good night from me, David Jacobs.
David was 87. He died a month later. How do voices change over the years? Many do stay enviably youthful, don't they, on radio? Here's how David sounded in his earlier career on Radio Luxembourg and on the BBC.
On Pi 7N15369, that's the Brook Brothers and Ain't A Gonna Wash For A Week. What a dirty record. Here's one that came out a few weeks ago, but stupidly I passed it by, but I think you'll enjoy it.
Well, we do spin those top three discs of the day. Let's meet the man who'll be in charge of Pick of the Pops as of next week, Alan Freeman. All right, Fluffy?
Hi, David.
Tell me just what's going to happen next week.
David Jacobs. This week in 1977, a young Dale Winton joined Radio Trent, hot foot from the factory station United Biscuits Network.
Yeah, I didn't think I'd get the job at Radio Trent. I really didn't, because it was advertised in a magazine, in one of the trade magazines, and at that time, there were a lot of people at UBN doing different shows, and as ILR was growing and new stations were opening, everybody was sort of like trying to get into real radio. And I was quite happy at UBN, and I thought, well, I'd like to stay in London. Then I saw this job advertised and met the then managing director, Dennis Maitland, in London, and he heard the tape, and he said, quite like that. We'll be in touch. So don't call us, we'll call you, but it won't be just yet. And I went away and I thought, well, and I was quite open about and forthright about my views on radio to him, and I thought, well, I've blown it. You know when you get that feeling, you think, I just said too much. And he said, don't call us, we'll call you. And 3 months later, they did.
Dale Winton moving into commercial radio proper this week, 41 years ago. The early commercial radio MDs were a varied crowd, each with their own idea of how British commercial radio should sound, influenced by maybe the BBC or the Pirates or the Regulators, or in the case of Beacon Radio's MD, Jay Oliver, the stations he'd heard back home in California. Jay was a huge character of the time in so many ways. He died this week 10 years ago.
All the areas tend to be different, and so instead of trying to cater for any one area, which is the hardest thing to do, we've put together a type of programming which will cater for the whole area. We've come up with a thing called News As It Happens. We will mix that with a News on the Hour, which we will take from independent radio news. That'll be national and international news. And then in the hour, depending on what happens in the hour, we will come into the programming and integrate into the programming news bulletins as there is news that merits being aired. And that's mainly local, but it can be national. If it's a national story of interest to the people in the area, then we will bring the update so that they don't have to wait till on the hour to get it.
Jay Oliver, the first Beacon MD in Wolverhampton, who died this week in 2008. He started Beacon in 76 and left 3 years later. Another loss this week, this time 7 years ago, was Michael Bucht, one of the Classic FM founders and Capital's first official programme controller. Here he is, reflecting on Capital's launch music policy.
The reason we try to go in a bit more with a more sophisticated sound than the old pirate radio stations is threefold. One, because it was widely felt that Radio 1 had taken over the mantle of the radio, pirate radios, and was doing the job, albeit not as well as the pirate radio stations, and they were still trying to do that job. Secondly, the IBA and the franchise was won on the promise of doing something other than simply being a new pirate radio station. The IBA very much didn't want, and the government didn't want, to be accused of just having put the pirates back onto the land, and therefore we were discouraged very actively from simply going for broke on the top 10. Mark, you know, I don't think any of us really wanted to. I mean, I think we all believed, and to a certain extent we've been justified by Capital's incredible popularity, but we've always believed that there were adults out there, all of them, who actually wanted to be treated like adults. And therefore the music pattern's always been a bit sophisticated. It was never intended to be simply Radio London, the old radio, Big L Radio London. The third reason, really, is that I think we all felt that for once we could actually put a radio station together that we would like to listen to. When I say we all the time, I'm really talking about the DJs, myself,
an interesting approach to music radio programming from the 1970s. Famously, Capital's early music policy was to change shortly after launch. Indeed, here's how Roger Scott sounded on that station this week in 77.
Frightening how the time slips by. Another couple of months, that'll be a year old. Chicago, if you leave me now. Capital Helpline looking for a charity or voluntary organisation who would like a binding machine in good working order, because we got one. If you seem to spend all your time stapling together copies of your annual general report and you'd like a binding machine, it's in good working order. The Capital Helpline has one for you if you'd like to give us a call. Charity or voluntary organisation, that is. 388-7575. Right, it's that time again, 9 minutes to five in the centre of town.
The sort of appeals we had to slide into our programmes to keep the IBA happy back then. That's the way Capital sounded this week 41 years ago. James H. Reeve has been a cult broadcaster for many years, appearing on GMR, 5 Live, Hallam FM, TalkSport, Team Talk, Century, Key 103. And this week, 30 years ago, he hosted his last show on Piccadilly Radio in Manchester.
Well, the beginning of the end, really. The final edition. The final, well, one final spurt of the nocturnal emissions. And then it's all over. For good, I gather. Oh, still, at least it coincides with a momentous day, doesn't it? Hey, the 88th birthday of Britain's best-loved granny. The most popular royal of them all came out onto the balcony, probably by accident today, and looked round at the crowd and went back in again, said to her personal aide, "Where is everyone?" And the day Margaret Thatcher finally went mad. I wonder if I... Oh, dear... Victory is snatched from my grasp. Did you see her? That Australia. If you're going to do anything, just think about some of the things that have been said over the past 2.5 years. OK. Jane Stammage is next between 1 o'clock and 5. See you again. 11:52 a.m, FM 103. This is Piccadilly.
James H. Reeve and Piccadilly parting company this week in 88. So, with Casey Kasem hosting his last American Top 40 30 years ago...
The countdown began on the 4th of July, 1970.
The most famous test match special of all, 27 years ago...
Angus, for goodness sake, stop it!
...and the order that Wyvern, BRMB, Mercia, Heart 106 and Beacon must be sold by Global 10 years ago... Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Many thanks, David. Some great memories from years gone by. And also thanks this week to James Cridland, to Andy Roberts, to Mike Russell and to Roy Martin. Thank you for listening. We'll have more for you next week.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.